We're going to talk about the tongue, the character of the human tongue. And I'm going to read a number of scriptures and keep the comments to a minimum so that it doesn't become a half hour, 40 minute message. It easily could with this in mind. But in James chapter 3, to me, this is the most familiar passage on the tongue, and God doesn't have a lot of good things to say about it. The first thing we're going to look at with the tongue is the fleshly tongue, the carnal tongue, the tongue uncontrolled by the Holy Spirit of God. And so let's begin reading in verse number 5, James chapter 3, verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member. He had just compared it with the bridle for a horse, controlling the horse, and the rudder on a ship, and how small they are in perspective to that which they control. And he says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Well, that's a pretty discouraging verse, isn't it? To read that verse and realize we all have a tongue and we use it probably more than we should. And to think that this is what God says about our tongue, a pretty powerful member in our body that can cause all kinds of harm, according to that verse. Well, let's move on. Verse number 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And again, verse number 8 is one of those verses that you wish said something other than what it says, because it's not a very flattering picture of who we are. Now, when I just simply call this the fleshly tongue or the carnal tongue, it doesn't mean that this is the tongue of the unsaved. Obviously, it refers to them, but many Christians who don't walk in the Spirit have the same issues of what James is talking about here. And we're not going to take the time to go to the two illustrations. I've talked about it in the past, that the Holy Spirit is the controller of the tongue and everything will be okay. And we'll talk about the Spirit-controlled tongue in just a little while. But I think the key thought in this passage is the uncontrollable nature of the carnal tongue. We can't control it on our own. If we think we can, we're fooling ourselves. All right, look over in the book of Psalms. Well, before we get there, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at two verses there, verses 8 and 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And so, obviously being written to Christians who are being commanded to put these things out of our lives, it's a growing process, sometimes a lifelong process, usually a lifelong process of getting these things under control. And it's not our control, but it's the control of the Holy Spirit, learning to yield to Him. But this passage tells us three things about that carnal tongue, that fleshly tongue. First, we see it can be ferocious. And we see that with the anger, the wrath, and blasphemy, malice, is not good things. Our tongue is capable of all that. Then we see it's filthy. It's filthy. Filthy communication. And boy, the world is getting more and more filthy in their communication, aren't they? And Christians are rubbing shoulders, and the devil tempts us to talk in like fashion. And it never ought to be that way. I was reading today about Peter when he was at the trials of Jesus, and they were saying, you were with Jesus. And you remember what he did to convince them he was not a follower of Christ? He began to curse. You see, his speech was different, and they knew it. They could tell. And that's the way a Spirit-controlled tongue is supposed to be, but the carnal tongue is filthy. Filthy communication, and then it's also false, or a liar, there in verse number 9. Lie not one to another. And so that's nature of the old tongue, or the tongue controlled by the old nature. All right, Psalm 73. Psalm 73. In James, we found it uncontrollable. In Colossians, we found it ferocious, filthy, and false. Psalm 73. This is all bad news, isn't it? This is pretty discouraging, pretty depressing. Well, we'll end on a positive note when we look at the spirit-controlled tongue and see what God intends it to be. This is what it'll be if we don't let God have it. All right, 73, verse number 9. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Now that phrase, walketh through the earth, is kind of a figure of speech that just says, doesn't matter what, it's going to attack it. And so what I see here is that the natural tongue, the fleshly tongue, or the carnal tongue is arrogant. It will speak against anyone and everyone else. Pride would have been another good descriptor here. Not afraid to speak against God, not afraid to speak against anyone or anything in his creation. Boy, we need to be careful about that. And I was just talking to someone that was having a really, really bad day. And they blamed God for all their troubles. And I just laughed. Probably not the best response, but I said, why do you blame God for everything? Don't you remember that the devil's out there trying to trip you up? And hopefully they understood what I was trying to say and the manner I was trying to say it in. But, you know, just that idea of arrogance, not afraid to speak against God. All right, one last one on the fleshly tongue in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs, chapter 12, verse number 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Words that cut. In other words, that carnal tongue can be awfully hurtful, can't it? You can say things that just cut right to the heart of someone and just discourage them and destroy them. And boy, we need to be careful not to ever let that happen. Sometimes I know it can happen unintentionally, but most of the time it's intentional. And that, if you're guilty of that, just take it to heart. That was a time when I was in the flesh and not in the spirit. And so we're all subject to that, so we need to be careful. All right, that's the bad news. The tongue is uncontrollable, ferocious, filthy, false, arrogant, and hurtful. That's this thing we all have in our mouth that, as I said, we all use too much. Well, let's turn over to Proverbs 15. Let's see the good news. If we just simply yield to the Holy Spirit of God, what then does our tongue become? In verse number 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Notice this, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Our tongues are designed to be helpful to one another, to give that good counsel, that good advice, to help someone who needs guidance. It's there for good, to witness for our Savior in due season, at the right time, sharing the gospel of Christ, how good it is. Now, the recipients, especially if you're sharing the gospel, don't always take it that way. But, nevertheless, God does, and that's who we're concerned about. All right, let's move over to chapter 25 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. When I first went to the Massillon Baptist College, of course, I had only been saved a little over a year, they had a ladies' conference. And the theme of their ladies' conference was apples of gold. And I thought, you know, that's kind of the weirdest thought for a ladies' conference, because I didn't understand apples of gold and pictures of silver. And because to me, that's not a very attractive word picture. But that's what God's trying to communicate, how pleasant words that are fitly spoken are. And, you know, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, that's what our words are. They're this beautiful picture that are just pleasant to behold and to be a part of. All right, one last passage in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. We'll start in verse number 8. Verse number 8. First Peter 3, verse number 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And I think what we find here in regards to the tongue, though it's not mentioned specifically, is that our tongue ought to be kind. That idea of pitiful and courteous. Do you still use your manners? Now, here's the big one with parents. Do we use our manners with our children? Do we say please and thank you? Because so many parents don't. It's our kids, after all. We have a right to boss them around. Well, how are we going to teach them to use their manners if we don't demonstrate it by example? And so I've always, with my kids, when they were little, used manners with them, and they in turn with me. And so we ought to do this with anybody and everybody. We ought to be very courteous and very pitiful, understanding. All right, so kind in verse 8, verse number 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that thereunto ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. The idea here is to be encouraging. Encouraging. When's the last time you encouraged somebody? And so our tongues, when we leave them to the Holy Spirit of God, our tongues can be encouraging, and they ought to be encouraging. And then let's continue on verse number 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And so the context of verse number 11 is what we have to say. And so the lips yielded to the Holy Spirit of God speak words that are peaceful, that are peaceful. We're not antagonistic. We're not trying to stir up a fight, but we're trying to resolve the differences that we have with other people. And we're going to have differences with other people, even other good people that are spirit-led. The reason is because I'm me and you're you. I mean, we think differently. God wired each of us separately. And we don't always see, to get from point A to point B, we don't always see the same path. Doesn't mean either one is wrong in most cases. It's just we saw it differently. And so instead of creating a fight over it, we should just resolve the issue and compromise. We ought to be compromising Baptists. How does that sound? That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Because there are some things we will not compromise on, but there's a lot of things we can compromise on, things that aren't of doctrinal issues. And I don't want to say that aren't important, because that's what the ecumenist says. Things, doctrine that's not important, let's just all agree to get along and only make a stand on doctrine that's important. But to them, the doctrine's that important, I don't even know what it is yet, because they won't define it, because everything is subject to debate as far as they're concerned. Nothing's important. And so God, watch out for someone if they call themselves an evangelical, because they're a compromiser and they're an ecumenist, and that's unfortunate. But we're talking about the tongue. If it's controlled by our flesh, it's uncontrollable, it's ferocious, it's filthy, it's false, it's arrogant, and it's hurtful. Not a good thing. But when we yield it to God, God can use it as this wonderful tool to help mankind, to help our church family, to help our families and our communities, because it's helpful, it's pleasant, it's kind, it's courteous, encouraging, and peaceful. And so then the question is, how have you been using your tongue? I trust you've yielded it to the Holy Spirit of God.